Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Chav Beis. Begin 12 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues finishing up and clarifying the discussion from the previous daf, which we had from previously at quoted on the previous daf, Machlekes Rabbanan and Blazer B'Shimon. Rishi Gemara said, what was their Machlekes? And we quote at length their Machlekes regarding when the obligation of, by the Eila Sa'if, to cut the two pipes, is that the majority, like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, an only majority, and actually you have to be connected till the head to the body, which, because he learns of Mechatzah Sa'if, that it's Eichiz Bereisha Bugufu Maze, or is it like the Rabbanan hold that, no, that actually you totally sever both pipes, it's a total Havdalah, because of different reasons, either you still learn of Mechatzah Sa'if, but for a different halacha, or like the Tamikama held that actually you're not even going to learn of Mechatzah Sa'if, but rather you can learn it from Chatzas Behema. Now that's why, on that's the opinion that the Gemara continues asking, because according to Tamikama, when it says Kamishpat, that the way you do the Avodah by the Eilas Eif, by the Karban Eil V'Yairid, is Kamishpat, like the law, what law are we referring to? According to Tamikama, it's going back on the Chatzas Behema, when someone's wealthy, he brings an animal Chatzas, when he doesn't have so much money, that's when he brings the Chatzas Eif and the Eilas Eif. So the Tamikama says it's going back Chatzas Behema. And for what relevancy are we comparing it to Chatzas Behema? So that the Gemara had said in the top of Chof Alvam and Beis from the Tanakama, just like by Chatzas Behema, the funds have to come from Chulin, from unconsecrated monies, and has to be brought during the day and with the right hand. So too, it's telling you that Eilas Oif has to have these three things. Now, that the Gemara continues and asks, Chatzas Behema, this that you're comparing Oila Sa'if to Chatzas Behema, the Eina Ba'il and Achulna has to be brought only from unconsecrated monies. Menonon, where do we know that by Chatzas Behema to say that you're learning Oila Sa'if from there? So Rav Chisdi says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, Amikra, says, Vehikr Va'aron is para Chatzas Asholoi. Aaron is supposed to bring near his bull Chatzas, which is for him, which this is a Karban Chatzas. Which, what does it mean, Asherloi? It means Mishaloi, from that which is his own funds, Veloi Mishal Tzibra, and not from the public's funds, meaning it doesn't come from the Trumas Alishka, which is where all the Jewish people put their Mafza Shekel. Additionally, it also is teaching us, Veloi Mishal Meiser, neither could it be brought for Meiser money. Because, as Rashi explains, it says two times there in the Parsha Asherloi. So therefore, even according to Yehuda, he actually holds that Meiser is mum and headed, it's considered a person's own individual money, not of Hektish. Even so, that's what the second Asherloi is coming to say, it has to be yours, and not even from Meiser money. And that's how we know Chatzas Behema, and that's how we learn the Oila Sa'if from the Chatzas Behema. Now, additionally, the other two halachas, we also know from the Par Yom Kippurim, that has to be during the day and with the right hand, during the day because it says, Kibayim Azei Chapra, as we explained in the previous stuff. And additionally, it says, Etzba and Kahuna, where it says, V'hizeh Be'etzboi Al-Panei, where it talks about that it has to be a coin with his finger, which elsewhere we explain that when it says Etzba and Kahuna, it means it has to be done with the right hand. Now, okay, so we know Chulin from Chatzas Behema. But the Gemara continues asking and says, "Bayoyim, why do I need to learn that Oila Sa'ay from Chatzas Behema? Because it says by Chatzas Behema has to be during the daytime, and we learn it from Kamish, but so to the Oila Sa'ay. Why do you need to? All karbanas mi b'yim tzavoy tzinafka. We learn it out where it says in the pasuk, b'yim tzavoy tzilahakrav. On the day that he commanded them to sacrifice, which is going on all karbanas, which sounds like going to during the daytime and not at nighttime. So why do we need to learn that halacha of Oila Sa'ay from Chatzas Behema? So I think you're right, Kedi Nesfer was just brought incidentally, but you're right, the source of the Oila Sa'if during the daytime, we know from all Karbanas, you don't have to learn it out from Chatzas Behema. Now the Gemara asked in the third item, Yodah Hayamonis, you tell me that I have to learn out that the Oila Sa'if has to be done with the right hand from the Chatzas Behema? But Midir Rabba Babachana Nafka, you know it from somewhere else. The Amar Rabba Babachana, he said, the Amar B'Shem Malakish, Kamakim Shanema, like we said, Etzba Oikahuna, wherever it says, and the Gemara Menachos is where it clarifies this on Yodim and Alf that it's not both. If it's either or, either it says in the Parsha that it has to be a finger or that it's with a kayin, Eina Eli Yamin, that has to be done with the right hand. And we know this halacha from the poor Mitzayra, where, again, that depending on how much money he has. So when he's poor, the Pasuk says that B'tabla kayin is boi hayamonis, that the kayin dips his right finger. So from there we learn now, wherever it says either kayhin, as it says over there, or etzba, that it has to be like it says over there in that pasuk, with the right hand. Now, by the oilas nadava, it says kayhin, where it says v'kriva kayhin. And you say wherever it says kayhin or etzba, it means the right hand. So I know oila requires with the right hand. Why do I need to learn that out from the Chatzas Behema? So the Gemara says, but v'idach, the other opinion, meaning that of the Tanakama, This that we explained in Masechtas Menachos, that if it says either etzba or kohuna, that's going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. But according to Reb Shimon, the Gemara there explains that kohuna baya etzba, that even though it says kohuna, if it doesn't say etzba, you don't know that it requires the right hand. It's only etzba loy baya kohuna. It's only if it says etzba, it doesn't have to say kohuna. So therefore, the Tanakama of the previous Brisa heals like Reb Shimon, and therefore you wouldn't know it just from the Oila itself, because Oila says kohuna, doesn't say etzba, and therefore you wouldn't know the right hand, and therefore you have to learn that from Chatas Behema. So therefore, again, Bayayim, it was just one of the three is Kedinas, where you don't really have to learn that from Chatas Behema, but Chulin and this Halach of the right hand has to be learned out from Chatas Behema, and that's what Kamishbu comes to teach according to Tanakama. Now the Gemara asks, Vitana Kama, who, as we just explained, says that when it says in the Pasi, the Oila Saif has to be done Kamishba, like the law, it's referring like to the Chatas Behema. And Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, who is the third opinion in that Braisa, who he says that when it says Kamishba, it refers to learning it out from the Chatas Saif. And what he learns out from the comparison of Oilas of Chatas Saif to Oila Saif is to say that the head and the body have to be connected, because you're only severing the majority of both pipes, not all of it. So then the question is, according to those two opinions, in contrast to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who is the middle opinion, Mimul Ha'ayrev, this, that by the Oila Sa'if, the Malik has to be done in the nape, in the back of the neck, Minalahu, where do they know this from? And Rabbi Shmuel says, actually, that's what Kamishba comes to teach. Just like Chata Sa'if is Mul Ayrev, so too is the Oila Sa'if. But the Tanakama doesn't even compare it to Chata Sa'if. He cares about the Chata Behema. So obviously, we're not learning out regarding Malika. There's no Malika on the Behema. And so to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, as Rashi explains, if he's learning out this halacha of that the head has to be connected to the body, you can't learn out both halachas from Kamishba to tell you that, oh, it's teaching you mul oirif, and that it's the head has to be attached to the body. Because if he would be learning out that halacha like Rabbi Shmuel does, to compare it that where it has to be, like a chatzas oif in the back of the neck, so to the oilas oif, then actually you would not be able to, as Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon does, learn out that the body has to be connected to the head. Because when it says in the pasuk vehikrivli, which we said is differentiating and saying that it's excluding the oila from the law that it says bechatas, chatas says don't separate that from the body. And vehikrivli is saying, no, the hakrava of the oila saif is different, that you do havdalah, because that's how you understand the pasuk. It's saying that the malika, the oila saif, is different than the chatas saif. Then you would say whatever applies to shechita would apply to havdalah, and that you would separate the whole thing. So, because then you would explain that, oh yeah, although it's comparing, but it's comparing only regarding mul oirif. So therefore, if he's learning it out from mul oirif, you wouldn't say that the comparison would be telling us that you would still keep it a little attached. Must be, because he has nothing else to compare it to. He's not learning out mul oirif from there. So okay, so it's comparing, okay, they say don't totally detach it. But then the question is, so when, where does he, together with the Tanakama, know this halacha of mul oirif? Says the Gemara, Gamri Malika Mimalika. They learn that from what's called a mamatzinu, a type of a binyan av, from Malika, from elsewhere where there's Malika. In other words, just like when it says Malika Bechatis, the pasuk tells you where it's going to be, is Mul Oirif, is the back of the neck, so to wherever there's Malika, including the Oila Saif, it's also going to be Mul Oirif, is going to be the back of the neck. Now the Gemara continues, the next Mishnah continuing on the same type of theme as the previous Mishnah. We were saying that what's valid by Shechita is possible by Malika, what's kosher by Malika is possible by Shechita, regarding their locations and how it's done. So says the Mishnah, similarly, kasha b'tayrin pasal b'bnei yonah. There's two types of birds that are brought as karbanas, and what's valid by the turtle dove is invalid by the young pigeons, and kasha b'bnei yonah pasal b'tayrin, and what's valid by the young pigeons as a carbon is actually invalid by the turtle doves. Now, additionally, tchilas hatzihuv, the beginning of when the feathers start coming out nicely, which is it becomes like yellowish around the neck, is b'zeh pasal. It's actually invalid by both of them. Because as the Gemara is going to explain, by the b'nei yayna, by the young pigeons, they're invalid because it's already too old. By the turtle doves, it's because it's still too young. Because at that stage, it's already not ketanim, but yet it's not yet gedolim. Now, Tana Bar Linda Brisa expands on this. Tayrim gedolim kasherim. Large, mature turtle doves are valid. Ketanim psulim, but if they're too small, if they're too young, then they're invalid. Flip side, b'nei yayna ketanim kasherim, the young pigeons, when they're small, they're valid. Ketanim psulim, when they're older, then they're invalid. So says the Brisa, like our Mishnah says, Nimtzei kasher b'tarin pasul b'nei yoin, it comes out that what's valid by the tarin, by the turtle doves, is invalid by the pigeons. And kasher b'nei yoin, the pasul tarin, what's valid by the young pigeon is invalid by the turtle doves, because tarin has to be older and not younger, and the pigeons have to be younger and not older. Continuing and elaborating even more, says the Gemara, Tanabon learn the Brisa. Tarim, which says in the pasuk regarding these karbanos of the turtle doves, says the Brisa, so that's gedolim u'leketanim. That means that they're older and not younger. Which the Gemara is later going to explain. Where do you see that from the terminology term that it means older, not younger? Which the Brisa continues. It says because sheyachel, because you would think v'aloi dinu, that to the contrary, that a kal v'chaimer logic would dictate to us that if it didn't say term, which we'll explain how you see from that, that it has to be gedolim u'leketanim. But if it didn't say that, then I would have learned that from a kal v'chaimer that actually tarim, turtle doves, should be valid as karbanas when they're small, when they're young. Because as a continue to Bay, says the Braisam, Uma b'nei yoina, shlehuch shu b'gedolim, if young pigeons are not valid when they get older, because the word b'nei sounds like they were talking about younger, like sons, b'nei, children. Which more later on is going to explain, but how do you see that they're not valid even after the fact that it's integral to be young and it's puzzle when it's gedolim? Maybe that's only the ideal, but that's what the Braisam is assuming, that it's not valid when it's older, yet hukshu b'gitanim, it's valid when they're smaller. So tayrim shukshu b'gitanim, so turtle doves, which are valid when they're older, and it didn't shukshu b'gitanim, isn't the kabochem that they're valid when they're younger? Tamalim at tayrim, it says the brisa, which again we'll explain, where do you see that from the word tayrim, that, oh, it means gedolim u'leketanim, turtle doves have to be older and not younger. So to the flip side, b'nei yoina, young pigeons, ketanim u'legedolim, that the pasuk is telling us that they're only valid when they're younger and not when they're older. Because sheyachel b'leidinu, because you would have thought to say to the kal v'chaimer that actually you should say that it is kasher when they're older, because of matarim, if regarding turtle doves, shlehuch shebegitanim, which are not valid when they're younger. Huch shebegitanim, they're valid when they're older. So, but then yayin shehuch shebegitanim regarding young pigeons, which are valid when they're younger. In addition, shehuch shebegitanim, isn't the kal v'chaimer that they're valid when they're older? Tamalim, as the pasuk teaches, b'nei yayina, are ketanim b'leidinu, only when they're younger and not when they're older. That's what the Braisa says. Now the Gemara asks, as we've been alluding, my Talmud, what's this Talmudic teaching? In other words, from which pasuk do we learn that, although yes, the word b'nei sounds like when they're younger, but where do you see that it's ma'akiv, that it's integral, that we are not going to allow and include that it should be kosher from a kal v'chaimer when they're gedolim? You're right, it's saying b'nei yoina, but a kal v'chaimer tells for sure even when they're older. How do you know that we're excluding that saying no, that no, when they're older they're going to be pasul? Because the Brisa has been saying a kal v'chaimer should say that they're kasher even when they're older. So Amar Rava, he says, if he would entertain to say that by yoina, by pigeons, that even when they're older they're kasher, so then from all the psukim in the Torah that it talks about these kinim, which are pairs of birds, that certain situations, like when someone donates a pair of birds, or by certain times, let's say, by Karban Oil B'Yared, by Shmias Kirli, her testimony, he didn't say he has to bring two birds, or a woman that gave birth, a Yeledis, or a man or a woman who is a Zavan, a Zavan, a certain emission from their body, or Mitzayra, Loilish Damid Kra, we don't find any pasig that v'lichtev min b'nei ha-tarim, that should say, oh, that he could bring the carbon from the sons of the turtle doves, or min ha-yayna, or from the pigeons. It doesn't. By yayna, it always says b'nei yayna. Obviously, it's ma'akev, and it's integral like that, that the pigeon is only valid when they're younger, and not when they're older. So the Gemara says, fine, but ema b'nei yayna. So maybe say by the young pigeons, the kasav b'hu rachman the b'nei, where the Torah goes out of its way and says that it has to be b'nei, that it's the younger. So ketan min gedolim loy, maybe that's where the Torah is telling you, oh, that's only valid when they're younger and not when they're old. And that's ma'akev, that most definitely when they're gedolim is going to be possible. But tayrim, regarding turtle doves, whether they're older or younger, the word tayrim sounds like it's just that type of bird, which doesn't say the age. So that maybe over there, if you want, you could bring them when they're older. Maybe you could bring them when they're younger too. Where do you see that it's excluding it from when it's younger? Says the Gemara, dumi de b'nei yayna. But no, we're comparing it to the pigeons, because that's what we said. The Torah says you could either bring b'nei yayna or tayrim. So there seems to be a parallel between them. And ma b'nei yayna, just like by young pigeons, which are not valid in the validity of tayrim. Because ketanim im gedolim loy, there you agree, because it says b'nei all over. It's only when they're younger and not when they're older. So af tayrim, so regarding turtle dove, they're not going to be valid in the validity of b'nei yayna, which is gedolim in ketanim loy. It's only valid when they're older and not when they're younger. Tanabon, we learn the braisa. Yachal yu kol atayim, you would think that all turtle doves are valid, again, once it leaves the category of ketanus of being too young. And v'chol b'nei hayir nekashir, you would think all young pigeons are valid, as long as it didn't reach the stage of being gedolim, being too old. Tamulayma, but that's what the pasuk teaches, min ha-term. It says you bring from the turtle doves. V'loy kol ha-term, that's exclusionary terminology, and not all turtle doves. Min b'nei hayir, when it says from the young pigeons, v'loy kol b'nei hayir, but not all young pigeons. What's that excluding? Prat l'tchilas hatziyuv. That comes to exclude when it starts to beginning that the feathers start becoming yellowish around their neck. Shebezev v'shebezev puzzle that in both those categories it's actually invalid because that's a stage that it's not ketanim anymore and therefore b'nei yoyin are not valid anymore. But it's not yet gedolim and therefore it's not valid yet for tayrim. So both of those types of birds, tayrim and b'nei yoyin, are invalid in that middle stage of tzihuv of when it's yellowish. Now, says the Braisa, Me'imasai Hatarim Kshem, from when are the turtle doves valid? That's Mishayez Hivu, when the feathers start getting big and red and goldy like gold. That's already when it's matured, already when it's older, then it's valid. And because the earlier stage of the yellow is not yet, that's still not Gedolim. Now, Me'imasai B'nei Yoyin Pesulim, from when do young pigeons start becoming invalid? That's Mishayetz Hivu. That's when it starts becoming yellowish, because that's not Ketanim anymore. It's not Gedolim, but it doesn't have to be Gedolim to be possible. It has to be not Ketanim anymore, and that's already not considered young anymore. Now, Tani Yaakov Karacha taught a Braisa that Me'imisei b'nei yoyin kasherim. From when are the young pigeons valid? In other words, we know up until when it turns yellow, but from when? Because the day that they're born, they're repulsive because they're still all dirty from how they were born. So from when are they valid? So on that says the Braisa Mishi Alu, which the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean. So Hu Tanila, Rabbi Yaakov Karacha had taught this Mishnah from his teacher that it was Mishi Alu. Hu Amala, and he himself came to explain what does this Mishnah mean. The Mishialu is like the terminology of the pasuk in Iyuv, Efroichiv Ya'aludam. His chicks, they are Ya'aludam. Meaning, what it means to say is that from when there's blood that could be found in their flesh, that's already when they're considered old enough to be considered a valid carbon as b'nei yoyin, as young pigeons. And says the Gemara, Emas, when is that? So Amabaya says, Mechisham et gad feminis, if you pull out a feather from the bird, Basi Dama, and blood starts coming out, that means to say the blood has already generalized in the bird, that's already old enough to be considered a carbon for the b'nei yoyin, for the young pigeon. Now, related to this topic about this middle stage, which is invalid for both, tchilas hatziuv, when it starts getting yellow, so Bayer Bzeira, he had the following question. Someone says, I'm taking upon myself to bring a bird oila, which are totally burnt sacrifice on Mizbech, min hatayrim oy min b'nei hayoina, from whichever one I want, either from the turtle doves or from the young pigeons. Now, the heavy, and he brings from both of them, both the turtle dove and the young pigeon that he brings in that middle stage of when it starts turning yellow. On that, as Rabbi Zeira, Ma'u, what's the halacha? Has he fulfilled his neder, his vow to bring one carbon oila of a bird or not? In other words, this that we learned in the Mishnah that tchilas hatziyuv possible b'shneim, that the beginning of yellowing is invalid by both the Torah and b'nei yoinim, is that because sveika hava? Is that because that's a stage when we're in doubt, like twilight, which we're not sure, is it already a gadol or is it still a katan? So therefore, someone who lets say vows to bring turtle doves, he hasn't fulfilled this obligation because maybe it's ketanim. Someone who vowed to bring b'nei yoyin, the young pigeons, has not fulfilled this obligation because maybe they're gedolim. But this person who vowed to bring whichever one he wants to, and he brings both, therefore v'nafik. So what's called mamanafshach, either way you want to look at it, he has fulfilled his obligation. Because if that stage is gedolim, so he's fulfilled his obligation because he brought tayrim. If they're ketanim, he has fulfilled his obligation because they're b'nei yoyin. Oidilmo, or maybe, no, they're neither. It's not, that stage is not gedolim and it's not ketanim. Rather, bar yahava. It's considered its own unique stage in life where it's its own creature. It has been removed from the stage of being a ketanim, but it has not yet reached the stage of being gedolim, and therefore, v'loy nafik, even if he brings both, he has not fulfilled his obligation in either one in this middle stage of tchilas hatziv. So Rabbi says, Toshma. So let's bring a raya from the following braisa, from the fact that we needed a pasik to go ahead and tell us that prat l'tchilas hatziv shebezev shebezev shepasl. The braisa tells us, oh, how do you know that middle stage when it starts turning yellow is going to be invalid? We know this from a pasuk that tells us to exclude that. So says Rava, if you're going to say that the pasuk is coming to tell us that Ber Yehava, that it's its own creature, and that is even if we're not concerned for a situation of doubt, meaning if it was only because of doubt, we wouldn't have a problem, like in our question that we asked, because either way, okay, so if it's a minor, so you have the Bnei Yoina. If it's Gedalim, so you have the time. And still it's telling us that it's going to be possible when you're in that stage of Tchilas Atziuv. So Shapa, we could understand, that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell us, that it's considered its own distinct thing, and it's going to be possible. But Eliyam, it's Sveikahava, but if like the other option, the Reb Zeir's question, that you're telling me that it's just, we're in doubt, we don't know if it's Gedalim or Ketanim. So the Pasuk is not coming to invalidate that, only in a situation where if he explicitly said, I'm bringing turtle doves, he can't because maybe it's mine. Or I'm bringing young pigeons, he can't because maybe it's Gedalim. But on that, the question is, Itzach Krala Mute Sveka, would I need a Pasuk to exclude a situation of doubt? In other words, another way of saying this is there doubt in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, if it's obvious to you that they're Gedalim, so bring Tayram. If it's obvious to you that you're Ketanim, so bring Bnei Yoina. But since you don't know which one it is, so how could you entertain to say that it's going to be kosher to need a pasuk to exclude it? You don't know. Hashem knows. You just don't know. The pasuk wouldn't be necessary to exclude that middle stage. Obviously, says Rabbah, that must be that middle stage is its own unique entity, and the Torah is telling you that it's neither Gedalim or Ketanim, and that's why it's saying that it's pasul. And then, yeah, in the case that we described, even if he brings both, that we're saying that still he's not going to fulfill his vow because it's not a suffix, but rather it's a unique stage that's totally not Ketan Mogadilim, and therefore it's going to be possible. And I think Mer continues the next off, and we'll disprove and say that, no, we could actually say that the Torah is coming to exclude something else, and therefore it wouldn't be a right to what Rav is trying to say to answer Reb Zeri's question, that it's obviously a Beri B'fnei Atzmoi, and not just a situation of suffix.